కేశవం బాదరాయణం సూత్ర భాష్యకృతౌ వందే భగవంతౌ పునః పునః ఈశ్వరో గురురాత్మేతి మూర్తిభేద విభాగినే వ్యోమవద్వ్యాప్తదేహాయ దక్షిణామూర్తయే నమః.
వేదో నిత్యమధీయతాం తదుదితం
కర్మస్వనుష్ఠీయతాం
దేశస్య విధీయతామపచితిః
దృశ్యతాం.
ప్రారబ్ధం ద్విహ భుజ్యతామత పరః బ్రహ్మాత్మనా స్థీయతామ్. Now you can repeat this shloka, can be repeated. So before I come, perhaps you can every day you can repeat. Maybe 4:25 you can start. So it will be a good practice. Alright. In the first shloka, it was said, Vedaha Nityam Adhiyata. Let Veda be studied Nityam regularly. And studied can be taken as, first you understand or first you receive the words of Vedas, then you study the meaning of Vedas, and afterwards, after receiving the words of Vedas from the teacher, you can regularly chant at your home. First you receive the words of Vedas and every day you chant Vedas. And here Vedas stand for all Veda-based scriptures. And therefore if you are not able to study Vedas, you need not worry. You can chant Bhagavad Gita, you can chant Vishnu Sahasranama, Lalita Sahasranama, any Stotra. So all Veda-based scripture also can be taken with this instruction, Vedo Nityamadhiyata. And try to understand the meaning with the help of the teacher. So studying the, receiving the words of Vedas and Veda-based scriptures, and also trying to understand the meaning of Vedas and Veda-based scripture. That was said, Vedo Nityam Adhiyata. And technically, not only Vedas are to be studied, along with Vedas, Vedangas are also to be studied. And there are 6 Vedangas. Veda, we know now, the fundamental scripture, they are called Vedas. Vedanga means subsidiary discipline of Vedas. To understand Vedas properly, the instructions given in Vedas properly, we need to study some subsidiary disciplines. And those subsidiary, auxiliary disciplines of knowledge, for understanding the Vedas properly, they are called Vedangas. Vedanga. V-E-D-A-N-G. Vedanga. Anga literally means limb, a part. Like this hand is called Anga of the body. Anga means a part. But here it is not really a part of Veda, but they are this subsidiary disciplines to study Vedas. Like to have detailed study of physics, you have to have good mathematics. Isn't it? Advanced physics you cannot study without having sufficient background of mathematics. Similarly here, to understand the instructions of Vedas properly, the message of Vedas properly, and in detailed manner, 6 Vedangas are also prescribed for study. And those 6 Angas are Shiksha, Phonetics. Phonetics means how to chant Veda properly. Because there are Swaras. Now in chanting class you must have heard Udata, Anudata, Swarita, Pluta. So, and these are only simple ones. So, there are so many detailed rules for chanting Vedas. In English we call it phonetics. And that is called Shiksha. This is the first Vedanga, one of the Vedangas. Then we have what? Kalpa. Shiksha, Kalpa. Kalpaha. Kalpa is the Vedanga dealing with the methods of performing rituals, giving certain rules and regulars in more detail about performance of the rituals, and that is called Kalpa. Is it the second Vedanga? Then we have what? Vyakaranam. Vyakaranam is grammar, which all of you are studying. And now you can understand what is the meaning of Vedanta. To understand Vedanta very well, you have to study Vyakaranam. This is called Vedantanga. Now what you are studying, grammar, is what? Vedantanga. The subsidiary discipline for studying this Vedanta. Similarly, entire Vedanta. Vyakaranam is necessary. Don't say Vyakaranam Kyakaranam. Means what? In Hindi they say Vyakaranam Kyakaranam. Means what to do with Veda, this Vyakaranam. Vyakaranam is grammar. Kyakaranam is what to do with that. What is to be done with this Vyakaranam? Not that. So Vyakaranam is necessary. And sometimes you may feel that why should we study this grammar? Somebody anyway you are going to explain in English. Hopefully. But all of you know that the exact idea cannot be fully conveyed in translated language. Moreover, you need to be independent. Everything will not be taught here. There will be so many texts remaining. And even in the text we are going to teach, there are also so many commentaries are there. And you may like to know more details, but if you don't have this grammar, then you always remain dependent upon translation. So even some people teach with the translation only. Then the thoroughness will not be there. So even though now grammars may be like tears causing exercise. ECE. But I tell you afterwards it will be smile causing exercise. You will really thank that very good we studied grammar so that you can understand. See, now I read commentary, I can understand because we have studied grammar. That is really helpful. And that is why this grammar is required for Vedanta and also entire Vedas. Therefore it is third Anga. Shiksha, Kalpa, Vyakaranam. The fourth one is called Niruktam. Niruktam means etymology, Vedic etymology, which is slightly different from regular grammar. Vyakaranam is mainly composed by Panini Rishi. This Nirukta is composed by Yaska, Yaska Muni. Shiksha is composed by Panini. Shiksha also is composed by Panini. Kalpa Sutras are written by different rishis. Bodhaya Nagrikya Sutras are there. So like that there are different rishis have written. This Kalpa. Under Kalpa so many books are there. Only we, fortunately it is not in our syllabus, so don't worry about this. So only we have to just be familiar, there is something called Kalpa. As much only. Okay. Then Vyakaranam, Panini. Yaskamuni Niruktam. And then we have got Chanda Sastra. Chanda. Not Chanda, okay? Chanda. Cha, cha. Because these people cha and cha, same thing. Chanda Sastra. Okay. Some people say Shivaya, they say Chivaya. Namah Chivaya. It is not Namah Chivaya, it is Namah Shivaya. It is not a Chanda Sastra, it is Chanda Sastra. Cha. Cha, cha. Mahaprana. Mahaprana means aspirate. Chanda Sastra, which is written by one Rishi, Pingala Rishi. Or Pingala Muni. One Muni, one sage called Pingala. P-I-N-G-A-L, Pingala. Chanda Sastra. What is this Chanda Sastra? Chanda Sastra means the discipline of knowledge dealing with the meters. Meters is a structure of the shlokas, the verses. Like you might have heard Gayatri Chanda, where 24 letters will be there. 3 quarters will be there, means 3 parts will be there. Each quarter will have 8 letters. That is called Gayatri Chanda. So the popular Gayatri Mantra is in Gayatri Chanda. Therefore it is called Gayatri Mantra. People think that there is a Gayatri, goddess Gayatri. Actually this Gayatri Mantra is not dedicated to Devi Gayatri. It is dedicated to the sun, Surya Devata, Savitru Devata. But people think there is a Gayatri. In our tradition, even every chanda has got presiding deity. That's a different thing. But this mantra, which is popularly known as the Gayatri Mantra, is dedicated to God Sun, Sun God. But it is in the meter Gayatri. And we have so many meters. Chanda Sastra is a big sastra. Where, one shloka, when we study Bhagavad Gita, that is Anushtup Chanda. And then Karpanya Dosho Pahatasva Bhavaha. That is not Anushtup Chanda. That is Trishtup Chanda. And this has a different chanda. I don't remember the name of this Vedo Nityama Diyata. It's a different chanda. Chanda means meter, the structure of the shloka. And that is studied under sastra called Chanda Sastra. In English it is called prosody. P-R-O-S-O-D-Y. Prosody. Some Chanda Sastra and prosody look same for us because both we are not familiar with. Alright. Then the next one is Jyotisham. Jyotisham literally means astronomy. Jyoti Sambandhi Sastram Jyotisham. The discipline of knowledge dealing with Jyotihi, luminaries, stars and planets, they are called Jyotisham. So really it is astronomy. But astronomy and astrology are closely connected. But otherwise, Jyotisham primarily means astronomy, because that which is connected to the luminaries, that is Jyotisham. And that Jyotisham has got the usage in Vedas, because for certain rituals to be performed, you have to know the exact date. Certain ritual is to be performed only on Amavasya. Certain ritual only in Paunamasi. That Purnima Amavasya itself you don't know, then you cannot perform that ritual. You will not understand the details given in that particular section of Vedas. Therefore, you need to study even this Jyotisha Sastra. So, 6 Vedangas are there. Siksha, Kalpa, Vyakarana, Nirukta, Chanda, Jyotisham. And Jyotisham has got so many books. So Varaha Mihir is there, and this what is called Arya Bhattiya. So other so many astrologers or astronomers have written the books, and all of them they form this particular Vedanga called Jyotish. So these are six Vedangas. So in Vedo Nityam Adiyatam, this also can be included. Okay? But the Swamiji, Veda itself is very difficult to study. Now this, just for our information, these things are there. It was studied. All right. After studying Vedas, generally the study of Vedas is done in Brahmacharya Ashram. There are four stages of life: Brahmacharya Ashrama, Grihastha Ashrama, Vanaprastha Ashrama, and Sannyasa Ashrama. I will explain, I will give the translation for each word. Brahmacharya Ashrama can be said student life. The second one is Grihastha Ashrama, the householder's life. The third one is Vanaprastha Ashrama, hermitage life, where person goes to the forest with wife or without wife, either way, that option is there. Only thing, after entering into Vanaprastha, when they enter into Vanaprastha, then both of them treat each other as only friends, no more husband and wife. And then the fourth ashrama is Sannyasa Ashrama, the life of renunciation. So these are the four stages of life called ashramas. In Brahmacharya Ashrama, the student stage of life, generally Vedas and Vedangas are studied. And during that also, some karmas are there. Some actions are to be performed even by Brahmacharis. And afterwards, when he enters into Grihastha Ashrama, the householder's life, then he or she has to do certain more karmas. And all those karmas which are prescribed by Vedas are to be performed for the purification of the mind. That idea is given in the second line. Taduditam karma svanushtiyata. Karma, action, taduditam, tad means that. That refers to Vedas. Uditam means told, prescribed. Svanushtiyata should be very well performed. The action prescribed by Vedas should be very well performed. Should be performed very well. Let the karma prescribed by Vedas be very well performed. And yesterday we saw Svanushtiyatam means one has to follow the procedure given by the Shastra, Vidhi, and with Shraddha. And if any Dakshina is involved, with Dakshina. And it should be done following all the steps involved. Not a 3-4 steps we do and rest of them we leave it. Then it is not complete karma. So Svanushtiyata. And now, what are the karmas talked about in Vedas? Yesterday we saw Nitya karma means regular duties, Naimittika karma, occasional duties, then Kamya karma, desired based duties, and then Prayashchitta karma, expiatory duties. Certain activities to be done if some violation, omissions and commission have taken place. To make amends, these karmas are prescribed. They are called Prayashchitta karma, expiatory duties. And Nitya karma, among the head of the Nitya, under the head of the Nitya karma, mainly Sandhyavandanam during Brahmacharya Ashrama, if person is in the student life, then Sandhyavandanam and Samida Dhanam. He offers Samida, Samit to the fire. And main duty of a Brahmachari over and about this Samida Dhanam and this Sandhyavandanam used to be Guru Shushrusha. Guru Seva used to be the duties during the student life. And when he enters into Grihasthashrama, then he has got Nitya Karma in the form of 5 Mahayagnas. And what are these 5 Mahayagnas? They are Deva Yagna. The first one is called Deva Yagna. The second one is called Pitru Yagna. The third one is called Rishi Yagna or called Brahma Yagna. The fourth one is called Manushya Yagna. And the fifth one is called Bhuta Yagna. I will explain each one of them. Deva Yagna, Pitru Yagna, Brahma Yagna or Rishi Yagna, Manushya Yagna and Bhuta Yagna. Literally, Yagna means offering the oblations into the fire, keeping some devata in the mind. Devatodeshena agnau havistyagaha yajnaha. Don't bother about Sanskrit. This is, I'm telling that this definition I what I told in English is based on the Sanskrit. In my mind I translated this. What is yajna? Offering the oblations into the fire, keeping some devata in the mind. And also uttering the name of the devatas. So offering of ahuti to devatas, and these ahutis are physically offered into the fire. That is called yajna. That is the primary meaning of the word yajna. Well, you offer some material into the fire, addressing to some devatas. Devato Deshena. But if we see the expanded meaning, then yajna means any dedicated activity. Any dedicated activity is yajna. And in that sense, these 5 activities are called yajna. And what are they? The first one is called Deva Yagna. That is Yagna in the literal sense also. Deva Yagna means Agni Hotraha. Every day Grihastha was supposed to do this fire ritual, small fire rituals. It may take about 15-20 minutes, not a big one. It's called Agni Hotraha. Every householder is supposed to do, but nowadays most of the people don't do. Earlier only few people did not do. Now only few people are doing. In fact, those who are doing, they get the name as Agnihotri. In fact, everybody is supposed to be Agnihotri. But since now nobody is doing, therefore one who is doing gets a name. It's like every employee should be honest only. But now most of them are not honest, and therefore if somebody is honest, then he is given an award as honest officer. Everybody should be honest only. But since most of them are not, therefore honest officer is a title. Oh, he is a very honest officer. Everybody should be honest only. Alright. So that is Agni Hotra. Or any other ritual, mainly Agnihotra, is called Deva Yagna. Deva Yagna. But Swamiji, does it mean that we cannot do Deva Yajna, we don't know fire ritual. In fact, in our flat we cannot do it, our floor will be spoiled. And I think in some countries they have got fire alarm. So if you do that alarm building, the neighbors will come. Fire brigade will come. Here, in fact, if you call also, they don't come. Once I wanted to test this police number, I said whether it works or not. And after doing that, I was a bit concerned, like, but they will come. Nothing happened. Fire brigade, or I just wanted to see whether this works or not. Nothing happened. Fire brigade, I don't experiment. Fire brigade, police, I tried. So, people may have concerns, I mean, this Deva Yajna we cannot do because this Swaha, Swaha. So we can take this Deva Yajna in wider sense, broader sense. Deva Yajna means doing puja is also can be considered to be Deva Yajna. You can do puja. Any Devata puja. Other day we were talking about puja in satsang, that when most of the people were feeling sleepy, that time I talked about the Deva puja. The sleepy talks I had. Then that puja can be panchopachara puja, where five steps are there. Danda, pushpa, dhupa, deepa, naivedya. Danda means this incense stick. Deepa, lamp. Pushpa, ganda. Danda, pushpa, dhupa, deepa. Flowers. Pushpa means flowers. Dhupa, deepa, lamp. Naivedya. Danda, pushpa, dhupa, deepa, naivedya. So naivedya means some eatables we offer. That is Deva Yajna. If that also, suppose it's not that convenient. So in Kali Yuga you get lot of discount. So if that is not possible, you do this. If that is not possible, you do. What you can do? Go to the temple. Any temple close by. In our case, we are very close by. And identify with the pujari who is doing puja. That time, concentrate on the puja only, not seeing here and there. That also can be considered to be Deva Yajna in spirit. Deva Yajna in spirit is doing puja or attending puja. This is Deva Yajna. The second one is called Pitru Yajna. Traditionally, every day a householder is supposed to offer tarpana. I think anybody here offering tarpana? Every day tarpana, every day. It should generally be water and til, but I think til may not be there, so they generally be offer water.
Every day water, only Amavasya till month beginning. But generally, till also is supposed to be there, but now maybe little water. So,
this is a very simple one. I think it takes about 10-15 minutes. Tarpanam every day. And if that is not practical for us, okay, we are not able to do that tarpanam, we have not been taught tarpanam. But at least, see, Pitru tarpanam, Pitru means our forefathers, departed forefathers. Generally the word Pitru refers to them. Pitru literally means father. In Sanskrit, Pitru means father. But here it refers to, in Pitru Yajna, Pitru refers to all departed relatives. Three generations father side, three generations mother side. Therefore, Pitru. If our father is alive, we should not do tarpanam, okay? Tarpanam means offering, any propitiating, tarpayati. Don't do it. If your father comes to know that you are doing tarpanam and he is alive, you will be angry with me. He said, do you want me to die or what? Tarpanam you will not do. But suppose this tarpanam you do not know, or if it is impractical, at least you find impractical. Sometimes when we are feeling lazy, you know, we say impractical. So either we are feeling lazy or we are finding inconvenient, at least spend 2-3 minutes offering prayers for the well-being of your forefathers who are no more there. Three generation father side, three generation mother side. Offer prayers. That is symbolical pitri. That is not exact pitri exam. But when nothing can be done, at least do something. Somebody said very nicely. He said, just because I cannot do everything, I will not stop doing something. Some people say, Swami, either I do everything or I do nothing. That's not correct approach. All or none, they call it. All or none is not a right thing. If all is not possible, do something. Some people have this perfectionist approach. If one thing they don't understand in Sanskrit class, they say, Swami, I can't study Sanskrit. Why? I don't understand anything. Anything you tell me, did you understand this part? Ha, that I understood. This I understood. Only this, 2-3 sentences, I did not understand. Look, we did not have that. Pujya Swami is very nice. He said, localize your problem. Locate your problem. Where is the problem? And I tell you, when you localize the problem, when you locate the problem, it will not be so big. Some people say, Swami, this course, so much discipline, so much discipline, so much discipline. I will ask one by one. Okay, this discipline is bothering you? No. This discipline. This only that we have to do this. Small thing. So in life, if we want to remain less disturbed, then one technique is this. Localize the problem. And here also, if we get perturbed only by one thing and we drop the whole thing, then we are the loser. And if we are loser here, elsewhere also there is no guarantee that we will not be the loser. You are carrying the same mind. Place is changed, the mind remains the same. Just by the way. So if you cannot do everything, if you cannot do it physically, at least do it in spirit. So Pitru Yajna in spirit is offering prayers for your Pitrus, wherever they are. I am indebted to them, because of them I am here, therefore I offer my prayers. That is Pitru Yajna. And when their particular date is there, anniversary, death anniversary is there, that day you can give some charity, special charity. A charity, you can offer something to, generally in India, it is given to Brahmanas, you give something. That is Pitru Yajna. Then the third one is called Brahma Yajna, or otherwise called Rishi Yajna. Actually, in that also, there is a small ritual, 10-15 minutes ritual, where we offer our gratitude to rishis and rishi patni, the wives of rishis. Because rishis have given us this scripture, they preserve the scripture. So we express our gratitude to rishis and They say behind the success of every man there is a woman. Therefore, Rishi Patni also. The Rishi Patni did not disturb the Rishis. Therefore, Rishi could do their job. So for that also we thank them. Rishi Patnyai Namaha. The Rishi and Rishi Patni, we do. This is one aspect of Rishi Yajna or Brahma Yajna. Another aspect of Brahma Yajna, another part of Brahma Yajna is studying the scripture and teaching the scripture is also Brahma Yajna. So you chant Shastra, you teach Shastra if somebody is ready to teach and ready to learn. Or if you cannot study or teach, at least help somebody study. If somebody doesn't have the book, buy them the book. Give some money, some paathshala, such ashrams can run smoothly. That also is part of Brahma Yajna. Doing something so that the tradition of our scripture continues. So contribution to the preservation of our scriptural tradition is called Brahma Yajna. Gratitude to the scriptural tradition and contribution. Gratitude and contribution to the scriptural tradition is called Brahma Yajna. So you can teach, you can study, you can spread whatever way you can. The fourth one is called Manushya Yajna. So Manushya Yajna, we may think we have to catch hold of one Manushya and throw him in the fire. Not like that, okay? Manushya Yajna means originally, there is a shloka in Manusmriti. All five yajnas are defined there. Based on that only I am telling. Nru Yajna, it is called Nru Yajna. Nru means Manushya. Is Atithi Pujanam. Serving the guest is traditionally considered to be Manushya Yajna. In those days we did not have restaurants and the hotels for staying. And therefore when somebody is travelling from one place to the other, then in between, suppose his distance is very big, then in between whichever village comes, he will go to his respective community. They used to follow that. So he will go to somebody's house and he will stay there and he will get food. That is, serving the guest is called Manushya. In fact, they use the word Atithi Pujan. Pujana means serving in the washing their feet and give them food and stay. And generally they are not staying inside the house. They don't stay. They stay in the outhouse or they stay in the veranda. And guests also understand that generally don't go inside. That used to be a convention. And this word Atithi is a beautiful word. Tithihi, fixed date, na vidyate yasya. One who comes to you without prior appointment, he doesn't call you and come, I am coming on this date. Then technically that person cannot be called Atithi. Atithi means that person also doesn't know where is he going to, and the host also doesn't know who is going to come. And that is why it is a Ishvara's plan. And therefore, Atithi is looked upon as Narayana in our culture. Atithi Narayana. It is a Bhagavan's plan. So in those days, this Atithi Pujanam, he was considered to be Manushya. In fact, every day, the householder, before taking his meal, he has to go out and call out. Is there anybody whom I can serve food? Yes, to do that. Yes, to call out. Is there any guest? If somebody says yes, yes, to take him in his house and take him into his house and serve him. It is a duty. So in every householder's home there will be little bit extra food. This is now modern time, know that always how many rotis you will eat? Three. How many you three? So I two. Three, three, two. Eight rotis. Exactly eight rotis they make. Nowadays it is practical also. But in those days that was not considered good. They always make little extra provision for atithi. Because sometimes there will be two atithi also. Alright, now of course we cannot do it. Nowadays atithi seva, serving the guest, is not practical. Because in the name of guest, who comes we do not know. He might have come to survey our house and night he will come and take away with him. So nowadays it is a little bit risky also. But if somebody comes and if you can give some food, even outside you give, if you have a little bit reservation, outside you give. Or even if that you cannot do, at least give some water. Even water you cannot give, say few sweet words, madhura vachana, that also is seva. You can say, sorry, I cannot give you anything. You have come, but I cannot give. This is also called atithi pujanam. So atithi pujanam means serving the guest in whatever manner possible. And suppose that is also impractical, because Swamiji, our gate of the house is so huge that atithi has to jump and come. Otherwise he cannot enter. And therefore nobody will come. Even for water he won't even know who has come past time. So now atithi, that is manushya yagna, can be translated as doing the social service. Means serving the fellow human beings. Whoever is in need, we help people. Suppose some people have got some financial problem, some people have got some handicap, we help them. Sharing our resources with fellow human beings is manushya. Then the last one is called Bhuta Yajna. Bhuta Yajna, that's also, somebody may think it, worshipping the ghost is a Bhuta Yajna. Because Bhuta has got that meaning also. In Kerala, that Bhuta is ghost also, is there, no? Tamil also. Bhuta, Tamil also.
Hindi also.
Bhuta, great Bhuta. Actually, see, people are so much afraid of this Bhuta. But we must remember, there may be one Bhuta. You are what? How many Bhutas you are?
Five Bhutas. Five Bhutas.
One Bhuta, I am Pancha Bhuta. Alright. So here, Bhuta refers to animals. Serving the animals and also trees. Means other living beings. That is called Bhuta Yajna. In fact, there is a ritual also. Bali Vaishvadeva, it is called. But that may be now impractical. You have to go to different corners of your house and put this rice and all this. But serving the animals, serving the plants, that also is one type of yajna called Bhuta Yajna. So if you water the plants here, you are doing Bhuta Yajna. Swami, you are telling not to serve the dogs, cats and all this. This is for some practical reasons. So You can serve them, but when you go to Coimbatore, you see some dogs. Here we have a practical problems, and we'll work out whether we can provide some situation for Bhutayaga without disturbing the subject. Alright, so this is Bhutayaga. So these five yagnas are to be done by every grihastha every day. That is why they are called Nitya Karma. Nowadays you cannot serve this animal support directly. Then there are some organizations. Reliable organization. You give some charity, some donation to them. On your behalf they will take care. So that is also Bhuta Yagna. In Manushya Yagna, you help some organizations who are serving these human beings. This is Pancha Maha Yagnas. Then, Naimittika is only to be done as occasion arises. Kamya Karma is desire based. If you have some desire, you do it. The activity is done for fulfilling your material desire, that is called Kamya Karma. And Prayashchitta is the expiatory action to be done when some omission and commission have taken place. These are four types of karma: Nitya, Naimittika, Kamya and Pratishiddha, as a Prayashchitta. Pratishiddha karma is to be avoided. Pratishiddha means prohibited. Suram na pibet, don't drink alcohol. Ma hinsyat sarva bhutani, don't hurt anybody. So like that, some rules are there, follow them. Some prohibitions are there, so those prohibited activities we avoid. So that is tadudhitam karmas parmushtiyata. Now the next instruction is Tene shasya vidhiyatam apachitihi. Up to this, the next instruction. Tena means by that. By that means by that karma, by that action. Ishasya of the Lord vidhiyatam should be performed. Apachitihi, puja, worship. Tena ishasya apachitihi vidhiyata. By that karma which you are doing as per the instruction number 2, let the puja, the worship of the Lord be performed. Means let your activity be the worship of the Lord. Tena, by the action which you are doing, ishasya apachitihi vidhiyatam. By that action, let the worship of the Lord be performed. Means, let your action be the worship to God. Worship of God. Here, one beautiful idea which is the part of Karma Yoga is given. And this particular idea is beautifully described in Bhagavad Gita. Yata pravrittir bhutanam yena sarvamidam tatam svakarmanatam abhyachya Siddhim Vindati Manava. There it is said, Yataha Pravruttir Bhutanam. From whom Bhutanam Pravrutti is Utpatti. From whom the creation of all beings has taken place. Yena Sarvam Idam Tatam. by whom the entire world is pervaded. Svakarmana tamabhyarcha. Having worshipped that Lord from whom the entire creation has come about, by whom the entire creation is pervaded, to that Lord, having worshipped by one's own karma, one's own duty, siddhim vindati manavaha. Human being attain siddhihi. Siddhihi means jnana yogyata, the fitness for knowledge. So in this shloka, this Ishwararpana buddhi, with reference to karma, Ishwararpana buddhi means attitude. Ishwararpana means offering to the Lord. Arpana means offering. Ishwara the Lord. Ishwararpana buddhihi means the attitude of offering one's action to the Lord. This is called Ishwararpana buddhi. So the attitude of Ishwararpana buddhi, which is otherwise called karma yoga, is talked about in this line. More details we will see.
Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaha.